Thank you. Wednesday night, we talked about mysteries in the Bible. And we went the way of God more perfectly by realizing that when Paul explains them in a King James Bible, they're all explainable. We don't know how God does it. How can He be in us? How could God take down this middle wall of partition between us and the Jews and make us one? And I don't know how He does that, but it's all explainable through Paul and the King James Bible. So there are no mysteries of mysteries as such. One of them was about the will of God. And we had talked about how everybody pretty much knows that we've been taught that everybody has a specific will that God wants you to do in your life. And we teach that to our young people, that when they grow up, make sure you do the will of God in your life. And then kids are wonder what the will of God is in my life. And then us adults wonder, are we doing the very will of God? And then when you get old, you wonder if you did the will of God, because if you didn't do the will of God, then us all going to burn. That's how this thing goes. And then I did hear, after we talked about it Wednesday night, that somebody mentioned that one of the big guns that really pushes this stuff has changed from the good, acceptable, and perfect, but to the permissible will. And that's how he preaches it now. Are you doing what God allows? He gives you permission to do it. He's not happy with it, but he allows you to do it, knowing, of course, that whenever he's not happy with it and he doesn't want to allow it, then he'll chastise you and get you back into his will. And he goes through all this kind of stuff. Well, we being Bible believers that we say we are, then we want to be able to see what the Bible says about the will of God. Does it really say that? And we recognize Wednesday night that no, it doesn't say that. There's no place where that Bible mentions at all about he has a specific will for you that you need to do, and if you don't, you've wasted your entire life because you never did figure out the will of God. Did he want you to be an evangelist? Did he want you to be a pastor? Did he want you to be a preacher? Did he want you to be a Sunday school teacher, deacon in a church? What church does he want you to go to? Are you going to the church that the will of God has for you? Why has he allowed you to be in this other church for the last 80 years and suddenly you're realizing that all this going on? Was it always a permissive will? You see what I'm saying? So we don't really have any grip on, are we doing what God wants us to do these days? Because if I'm not, when is he going to slap me to get me on the trail he wants me to do? So you go to a church service, a guy gets up here and preaches about missions or something, and suddenly these young people who think it would be neat to fly in an airplane someplace and get away from everybody in the home and all this kind of stuff, they finally think, I think it'd be neat to be a Romanian missionary, and I think God's calling me to be a missionary to Romania. And that's the will of God in my life. He grows up, goes through all the preparations, the schooling and the whole thing, gets to Romania, and about a year later, God changes his mind, and he's no longer called to Romania. In fact, he comes back home, and he ends up a furniture sale. I'll use a better example. an upholsterer. There we go. Like Ray, you're an upholsterer. Comes back and he's an upholsterer. So now is he finally doing God's will? Yes, when I was young, I was called to be an upholsterer. That kind of a thing. Is that what this is all about? And we saw Wednesday night that it wasn't, but I thought it deserved its own sermon. Or what do you want to call these things? And so I thought I would do some more looking into it. And it really is pretty interesting. What is the will of God today? You're doing the will of God if you're studying Paul's teachings and trying to change your life. That is the will of God. Just like that. You can do it driving a tractor. You can do it designing a tractor. You can do it destroying tractors. If that's what you so get involved in your life. And if it's something that would be good and it causes reward into your life, in your judgment seat, then that's good. And if it doesn't, then that's bad. But the will of God is to look at what Paul says in a rightly divided King James Bible and change your life to do those works that God wants you to do that are good. However it pops up. Does he want you to be an actress? Does he want you to be a musician? Musician or an actress or a cook or a waitress or what? What does that Bible say that he wants your will to be? Well, like I said, following Paul. Now, if you break it down a little bit, you might just find out that he does have a specific will for ladies and girls and women. And you might have specific will for men. But what would that be? What would he say? Wouldn't you think that you being young, that some of you folks are, most of you folks are, some of you folks are, a few of you folks are, as I scan here, that don't you want to grow up and do what God would have you to do? Say yes, because it really looks good to your dad. Yeah, oh yes, I would really like to do what God would have me to do. Well, you know what you can do? You can practice with your dad. And then Jimmy goes, yeah, I like that idea, by doing what your dad would have you to do. But then there's a difference. Quite often the dad would have you do something that isn't what God would have you to do. Dad, we get into that whole other element there. So you're old enough to start wanting what God would have you to do. So that takes care of that sermon, huh? No, it doesn't. Colossians chapter 4, let me show you some things about this will of God that everybody seems to be feeling bad about. Wasn't it 12, 13 years ago we had a mule out back here doing his little hee-haw during the sermon? I can deal with trains. I like the sound of a train. I wish this church was right next to the track. I would. That's true. We'd take more than two pipes to keep this thing up. Yeah. I guess we could just change churches and we could find a church that acts like a train, I guess. Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you, so he's one of our guys, servant of Christ, saluteth you. Hi, how are you? Always laboring fervently for you in prayers that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Okay, parents, here's one of your prayer items. Pray that your children would grow up and they would stand perfect and complete in the will of God, in all the will of God. Dad, what do you think God would have me do in my life? Mom, what should I do? What do you think God would have me to do? How do you answer that question? Well, I don't know. I guess you could get a job and see if it's the kind of job God wants you to have. Or, there's all sorts of things people are getting into, and I think God would have them, that's in their will. Because it goes well for a couple of weeks or something. But anyway, the prayer there is that we would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now, look at Ephesians. Chapter 1, verse 9. I hope I'm all going here. Ephesians 1, 9. He says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Right, Sue? Okay. Ephesians 1, 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He had purposed in Himself. So, it looks to me like we can know God's will. He's made known unto us the mystery of His will. Now, we're fortunate enough that we go beyond Paul. We believe the King James Bible to be over and above Paul. It's the Word of God today. So, this will be in this Bible. Really? This Bible will tell me what I should do when I grow up? I know what I want to do. I know what I want to do based on who I've been hanging around all my life or my first few years of life. I know what I want to do because I want to do something that's fun. I want to do something that makes me a lot of money. That's kind of the bottom line today, it seems like. Is this what God would have us to do? Well, He says He's made it known unto us. Look at chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5. Do I believe that God wanted me to be a band director? Did He want me to be in a Christian school? Did He want me to be in a public school? Did He want me to quit being a band director? Did He want me to do this? Did He want me to not do this anymore and go do something else? I mean, what is God's will? Is it God's will that I die horribly, slowly, sufferingly? Or do I just, poof, the easy way out? What is God's will? Well, it says here in Ephesians 5, right, verse 17, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, I wonder what the will of the Lord is. Now, I really cheated by giving you the conclusion, because I can do that because we did it Wednesday night. But I want you to see where this stuff is going. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1. We'll go forward to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. I've got four grandkids. I've got one grand girl. I wonder what the will of God for that girl is and for those four boys. Are they going to be doctors? Are they going to be chiropractors, I hope not. By the way, Bob is having neck surgery tomorrow for a disc. A disc in his neck, because when he went to the chiropractor flipped the button on the chair and it went up and it whacked him in the back of the neck and crushed one of his discs. So that's why he's going to the doctor for a disc surgery tomorrow, Bob Revis. Both he and I have familiar experiences with chiropractors. Colossians 1:9. Was that God's will for Bob to sit down in that chair and God flip that? I'll do that. Boom, flip that chair up and hit him in the back of the neck and almost break his neck. Was that God's will for that to happen? Wonder what Bob was doing wrong last week. That's the only thing you can come up with. Or maybe Bob is just out of God's will. You ever heard that one? Out of God's will. Out of God's will. Bob, just in case you're listening to this. Is he on there this morning? Okay, Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So, that's it's available. It's in this Bible. Now, let's go look at Acts chapter 22:14. They're kind of broken down into some segments here. One is God's will to Paul. Let's check out God's will to Paul. Make sure that what we're following here is what God would have had Paul to do. So we're looking at Acts 22. Then we look at God's will through Paul to us. When Paul says, "It's my will that you such and such." So that comes from Paul, but it also comes from God. We'll see some of those. And then there are some specifics in there where it's His will towards us. Directly, don't do this, but is my will, that kind of a thing. So, Acts 22:14 this morning. And He said, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldst know His will." That's Paul. "And see that just one," capital J at once, so we know capital J-O, we know who that is, "and shouldst hear the voice of His mouth." So, it looks to me like Paul needs to know God's will. And don't we hope that Paul followed God's will? That type of thing. Look at verse 21. And He said unto me, "Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." So we break down Paul's verses in chapter 22 and chapter 26, or chapter 26, and look at verse 16, chapter 26, verse 16. If we go back to Acts 9, we can see that God specifically told Paul what He was going to do. Acts 26, 16. Acts 26, 16. "But rise and stand upon thy feet." This is His testimony. You've heard this a number of times now. "For I have appeared..." But we do repeat things here, Betty, so we can learn them, and we get this more and more and more. I just did that for Betty out there. "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee." Now, we don't have that today. We don't have... you're walking to school, or you're walking to the backyard, you're doing some horse chores, or you're cooking some cookies, or you're coloring on a coloring page, or something like that, or you're driving a tractor, you're getting your truck stuck in the snowbank or something, where the Lord suddenly appears and says, "Now here's what I want you to do," like He did to Paul. We don't get that like Paul was given. So He was told to go to the Gentiles, and you're going to tell them what I show you and I tell you, and what you've seen, what you hear. Aren't you glad that Paul followed God's will? Now, look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." And He goes on to these people. Isn't that good? I mean, He did this. It was the will of God that He would go to the Ephesians, okay? Ephesus. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Just do a couple of them here. Colossians chapter 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren of Christ which are at Colossae, So, by the will of God. And Timothy, too. Okay, look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, there it is again, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father. That was his will. God would have him do that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Way back to the left there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brethren, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. So that was the will of God for him to go there. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 1, of course. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. So we see that it is the will of God that Paul is the apostle. Now, when you get to talking to people, if you want to help try to... I've said this before, but it kind of makes me think of it now. When you're going to try to tell somebody what we're doing, we're trying to follow Paul as our apostle, they right away shut us down because they don't understand what we're trying to tell them. I would suggest this. For a possibility. You say that you're following Jesus Christ out of the Gospels. That's true. That's what you say. Yes. Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad you think so. But, you know, really, you're just following the apostles that are telling us about Jesus. That's why it's called the Apostles' Doctrine. Well, I never thought about that. Try to get them to see that. You're not just following Jesus. You're following what Jesus taught the apostles to teach us, which is what they do. And it's apostles. Oh, yes, that's right. I suppose it would be. Well, see, you're choosing to follow Jesus as taught by 12 apostles. We're following the risen Savior by following one apostle. Oh, well, that makes sense. Why aren't you following the 12? Because Christ went on to one. And the 12 were set aside. I mean, that was when Jesus was talking to the Jews. And then they were going to go out to the world. And then they killed the preacher. And then the apostles' doctrine was over with. All the signs and the healings and the miracles and the snakes and the poisons and the healings and all these things, they're done now because we're not supposed to follow the apostles. We're to follow Paul, who was, by the will of God, you can show them in some of those chapters, chapter 1, verse 1, that was the will of God that Paul would be the apostle to the risen Savior. Try that one on some folks. And then if you want to put a little shot of humor in there, would you rather try to follow 12 or 1? It's a lot easier to follow 1 than it is 12, if you want to throw that at them, if you haven't lost them by then. That makes sense, though, doesn't it? They're not really following Jesus. They're following the apostles in Jesus. We're not following Jesus. We're following Paul. But really, they were following Jesus by following the apostles. Really, I mean, they really were. And we follow Paul is because the risen Jesus, the risen Savior, told Paul what to say. So as we follow Paul, really, we're still following the risen Savior. And of course, wouldn't you rather follow what the risen Savior teaches than the earthly Savior who hadn't died yet? Well, yeah. That makes sense. And besides that, in John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit hadn't even been given yet back during those days. So let's follow Paul's teachings as the apostle of God, as apostle of Jesus Christ, and that's the will of God, that we do that and that he were to have done that. There. I'll tell you, this place ought to be packed next week because they're going to go, I finally get it. Okay. Can you tell somebody, can you tell Marilyn to quit talking about the world order so much? No, because once you realize Paul's teachings and the risen Savior, that whole thing suddenly just, boom, we see what's going on. Marvelous. sort of see what's going on. There's always some little tricks out there that they pull on you. Okay, so that takes care of that. Let's look at Romans chapter 1. Boy, you would just think that people would just be thrilled and problems will go away because this is what God would have us to do. So then you would think God would make everything just go really smooth in our lives. It would be very prosperous, as we say. Romans chapter 1, verse 10. Here's Paul making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Well, so Paul is praying that I hope I have a prosperous journey because it's the will of God that I come and I talk with you. That's the way it should be. But look at Romans 15:32. I guess I shouldn't say but still look at Romans 15:32. Then I'll show you the however verse. Because he says it again, Romans 15:32. He says, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. I enjoy talking on the phone for hours with people out in the Webb family because they're with Brian and Jason and Fred and John and their family and Clarence and Mark, and when they see something clicking. It's a refreshing thing to hear that and to hear it taking place, just like he says. And may with you, be refreshed. And we notice that it is the will of God that he comes unto us with joy. That's God's will. But notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we're talking Paul here. And we know that God has talked to Paul. And Paul understands the will of God, what it is that Paul needs to be doing. And those two verses I read to you, he is going to visit with these people because that's the will of God to go see these people. But we notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, he had an obstacle. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Well, now, if it's God's will, how could Satan hinder him? Very easily. He probably could have broke his camel's foot, could have ran out of milk or water. I mean, who knows what it is. Could have broke a sandal thong, clink, thinky jobber on his foot. Man, who knows what Satan did to hinder Paul from going to these people. Maybe it was bad weather. Maybe they had their first snowstorm. Who knows? Maybe he got sick. Maybe somebody else got sick. Maybe somebody called him up on the phone or on the camel line and got really upset. I mean, who knows whatever it is, but they hindered Paul. And it was God's will to go to these people. And Satan hindered him. So if it's God's will, how can Satan hinder him? Just remember that he did. I don't know how, but he did. So it's God's will that we do what in our lives? Well, Satan can hinder that, you know. Yes, but this is what God wants. That's okay. Who is it that has to get out of the snare? And Paul talks about in Timothy. The person who's in the snare has to get out of that snare. We can't get them out for it. They have to do it. Who is it that makes the choices whether you serve or serve righteousness or serve sin? We still have to make choices. God is not going to force His will on anybody. There you go. Let's look at Galatians chapter 1. Let's look at us now. So we know that what God's will to Paul was, and Satan was able to get in there and hinder that thing. We have a King James Bible today. It's the Word of God. It is the only Word of God. It's inspired. It's preserved. And they're coming up with all sorts of little wimpy little arguments about spelling changes, and some of them are drastic, so they don't need to be doing it, but they're just little things, and they're breaking away the faith that we believe this Bible to be the Word of God. 1611, 1613, 1617, 1729, 1739. Which one is it? What, 1611? Can't help but that the printers do some of the stuff they do. Why wouldn't God stop that? He doesn't. He just doesn't stop it. Why would God allow 400 and some Bible versions in English today. Why wouldn't he? Is that the will of God? Why so many churches and denominations? How come all of a sudden now you're starting to see Paul's teachings? Why wasn't it this was the will of God? Why wasn't this church teaching the Paul teachings of the risen Savior 15 years ago, 20 years ago? Why weren't we given it when we were bringing our children up? Why not? Isn't that the will of God? Well, yeah, it is. Why aren't the preachers preaching what they're supposed to? They're supposed to preach the Word. And all they're doing is trying to have favor with everybody in the community to get them to come in. Is that God's will? No, it's not God's will. Well, why is He allowing it? Because He doesn't make anybody do anything. Now, He will chastise them back onto the trail. Where? Tribulation. Because He cares. He loves them. Does He not care and love us? Are you kidding? Look what He's done. He doesn't even have to get us back on the trail. He got rid of the dirt, period. There's no trail to get off of. Now, if we want to choose to serve sin, then we can make those choices, and He's going to take care of that too. I mean, boy, wouldn't you rather live today than in the tribulation? Oh, yeah, but God's going to chastise me to get me back on the trail, to get me back right. Yes, but you know what? And listen, they're going to have the Spirit of God upon their flesh. We don't have that. So they'll actually be able to walk the holy walk. Whoa, that's exciting. Not really, because if they get off, they got to get spanked. I'd rather live where we live today. He put the Spirit of God in me, separated me from all this garbage out here. I go for today than I do tomorrow. So what's the will of God then today? Well, I'll show you. You ready? Are you ready? Wish I could learn how to clip some of the video. You know that, Jimmy? I wish we're going to have to learn that here pretty soon. Look, Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Okay, here we go. Galatians 1, 4. This is to us now. Who gave Himself for our... Galatians 1, 4. Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Oh, great. Right. Exciting. We will be delivered from this present evil world. Well, yes, we will be. We can die. We can be raptured. We can follow our Bibles, and we can learn by judging things and making what things approve of God. We can stay away from some of these things because they're evil. They'll hurt our children. Well, let's not go too far with this stuff now. Yes, it's the will of God that we follow Paul. I can handle that. I'm okay with that. But now you're starting to get in within my home again, and you're going to get... Are you going to ever do this pastoral suicide series again? No, don't plan on it. I feel bad about it because I know of some things that are going on still. Here we go, that one again. You know, remember that trouble that got me into? And I know of some things that are going on, and I tell you what, it just disturbs me. Haven't heard that for about a year, have we? That one, oh, is he talking about me? Well, if you have to, that's for you to decide. Listen, I won't give you names, and I probably won't even tell you what the specific things are because I don't know if these folks would want to know about it. One I know does. As far as some of the challenges in their life, within their home, as they're trying to follow Paul, would you put your teenager in jail? I know some of you say you would. But, I mean, really, when it got right down to it, would you call up the probation people and say, you know what, my son is doing such and such, you need to come and get him? Would you do that? You know how hard that must be? You know how hard it must be to choose not to go to one of your kids' weddings? They're getting married because of the alcohol and the crowd that's going to be there. Could you make that call as a parent? That's pretty tough. That's pretty tough. Is that God's will? God's will is to follow what Paul teaches. That's pretty tough. I've got some folks out there that we have. They're family members, by the way. I know one person hasn't been able to see their grandkids for at least, I think it's probably maybe 2, if not 3 years. Now, it's not because they live far away and they haven't been there. It's because his children will not let them see their grandkids because he believes in Paul and Jesus Christ, King James Bible, and talk about sacrifice there. I got a number of people struggling within their church. knowing that they're preaching the Great Commission, trying to get money out of them to build a building. They don't even fill the building they have. But if we build a bigger building, then the community will come in, and you're not paying what you need to pay, and God's going to get you and all this kind of stuff. And they're very frustrated with that stuff. They know they need to change and get out of there, but the wives or the children are going to be hurt because that's their friends. I got a lot of those stories. We've got a lot of people out there that have zero friends. Zero. At least you have us here. No friends. Some are probably minus 10. We got 10 enemies. Not a friend to fellowship with. Zero. Zilch. I know of one that's having a job issue, a scary job situation. I know of one family that's dealing with movies and how hard it is to deal with it. They're dealing with what they should or should not wear. They go to public school, but in that part of the world, there's still a lot of Christianity in there. And the girls are being hassled for how they're dressing. You have to deal with that here because we allow that here, you know. But they're going through a hassle. We've got one. We have a victory that I heard about this morning. It was a conflict that was taking place because of one of those frustrated divorce situations. One family said this, one family said that. And the kids were caught in the middle, as they always are. And I guess this morning that the boy made a choice to go towards the right side. Made a choice to quit. That's pretty tough to quit with some of these things kids get involved with. Especially being pressured by somebody else on the other side. And it's like a losing battle. I mean, you fight the relatives. And what I'm saying here is all this the will of God? I mean, we talk here about to be delivered from this present evil world. These are examples of people out there in our church family that are dealing with this present evil world, and based on Paul's teachings, they're making some choices. They're making some hard choices. And it's hurting. It's hard. But they're making them. And as encouraging as it is to see people doing that, it's hurtful to know that they have to hurt over it. I mean, it's your daughter. It's your son. It's your relatives. It's your friends. It's all of them. It's the church you've been going to for a bunch of these years. It's a church that's given you food and friendship and fellowship and comfort. And you find out from Paul that they've been lying to you, whether it be on purpose or not, doesn't matter. You're still not having your family fed properly. Also, is that God's will? Yes, it's His will to be delivered from this present evil world, even to this day. Is it because we go to Peter's verse where it talks about escape the pollutions of this world? No, because if you get caught up in those pollutions, your salvation is over again in tribulation. You've got to get it fast. We don't have to worry about that. But we still need to be told to stay away from that stuff. Well, wait, what's that got to do with my job or my personal future? Nothing. I just don't see in the Scriptures here at all where God has you being a specific something or other. It's not there. We're to learn what it is that Paul teaches, and He's going to guide us in this wicked, cursed, sinful world. That we are still inside our bodies that are full of flesh, full of sin, dirty. But He's cleansed us, and He showed us how we could please Him. And these people are doing these things that I believe, that I've heard from, I believe they're doing these things because they've learned that that pleases God. And I'll tell you what, as I look at each one of these, boom, and boom, and boom, and dun, 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 one, there's one on the other side here, but then that's because, dun, dun, two, I guess that other one, all but two of those examples there, the men have stepped up to the plate and made some things take place. Two of those illustrations are stood up by the wife, and they both say to me, "What can I do? I got to do something." So, that's tough stuff, what they're going through. I wish you could know who they are and specifically what's going on, because listen, folks, there's nobody here that has the challenges that some of our other family have out there. Tough stuff. They're learning to follow the will of God by following Paul. Now look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. The will of God. What is the will of God? Epaphras says that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Is that possible today? And what's wrong with being a teacher or a plumber or a furniture salesman or a carpet repairer or a musician? There's a lot of ifs on that one. That's a rough one. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Well, that looks like the will of God, isn't it, right there? Before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. That's been His plan. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the beloved. That's the will of God right there. What's that? To be holy without blame. You know what He did to us? To our soul, He's made our soul holy and what? Isn't that just an amazing thing? Don't you think that there ought to be a zillion million people calling us on the phone and say, hey, whoa, tell me about this. How can I be made holy and without blame? Well, they get a wrong number because our lines are booked, and I'm not going to dial 1611. That's one of those King James guys, you know. So they call another church. How can I be holy without blame? Well, here's what you do. You got to come here, and you got to pay your tithes and offerings, and you got to dress right, talk right, and all this kind of stuff. But if you don't do it, boy, I tell you what, God's going to just funker you on down. I'm coming. I'll be right there, and away we go. And Jesus, just now, go out there and get somebody else to come because we need a new building. We do. Well, we're going to need a new building very soon here. So that's just what they're doing, absolutely everywhere. That's not the will of God. Learning and reading and learning and studying a rightly divided Bible for your personal life. And follow Paul's manner of life, things that we've learned from him, heard from him. That's the will of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Let's go down to verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Whoa. So he's going to try to teach us something, isn't he? He puts the Holy Spirit in. He's going to try to teach us some things. But He gave us a Bible. So in order for us to be directed properly and to follow His counsel of His own will, to know what is He would have us to do through Paul, we got to be in that Bible. That's too simple. Look at Philippians chapter 2. So you mean to tell me that maybe God really doesn't want me to be what I'm doing? Well, that's very possible. That's very possible. Because it says right here, chapter 2, verse 13 of Philippians, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Is it possible that maybe what you are doing for a job doesn't please God? Sure it is. Is it possible that God doesn't want the ladies doing what the ladies are doing today, even though they're doing a really good job of it? Yes, it's very possible. It's very probable. In fact, that's a fact if you look at Paul's teachings. Who? Paul. Why Paul? Because he's the apostle to the risen Savior. And the risen Savior is telling you, I really don't want you to do that. I would rather have you do this and that kind of a thing. Is He going to make you do that with His will? No. Does He have a specific will for you? Yes, His will is to follow Paul's teachings. And it says right there, God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Yes, He wants some things for you to do. I wonder what those are. That's a good question, Shoni. I mean, I'm glad you're asking. That's a good question. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. We see in Ephesians chapter 6, one more little shot there, the fact that we have to make a choice. Who do we serve? Who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve sin? Or are we going to serve the risen Savior? It says in Ephesians 6:6. I'm jumping myself. We'll do that verse, Ephesians 6:6. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. I got ahead of myself. That verse tells us that if you got a boss, you need to obey your boss. That's the will of God, is to obey your boss. If you don't like your boss, get a different one. If you can't get a different boss, Obey the one you got. That's the will of God. What if you don't like him? What if he doesn't like you? Has he fired you yet? No, then keep your boss. It's nice to have money coming in, isn't it, Jim? I mean, it's a good thing. Just because yours wears a funny little Smokey Bear hat, that's, you know, that's okay. And he's out there lighting fires, job security. That's okay. Okay, now, get on with it there. I forgot that verse. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I played my trumpet yesterday. I played through 15 Sousa marches, along with the CD playing and the marches and stuff. And my lip this morning feels like it's just absolutely totally rubber jello. Yeah, it's just somebody standing whooped on my lip for about an hour yesterday. So that's my explanation for mumbling that I'm doing. Other days I just mumble. I try not to, but let's look at some specifics, should we? Okay. Because he tells us to follow Paul. That's the will of God. Okay, here's one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Now, right away, we look, okay, look at that. They shouldn't be doing that. And that's more than true. They should not be doing that. Not a problem. That is not. It's the will of God not to do that stuff. But, you know, I looked up these words anyway, and fornication is actually idolatry. It isn't just doing what people do like that. It's idolatry. Forsaking the true God and worshiping of idols. Because in a sense, that's what you do when you do that other stuff. But on a scriptural basis, yeah, but it talks about possessing his vessel in sanctification and honor. Sure, we as people, Christians, forsake the real God for some of the things that we do. And they can become idols to us very easily. And I won't get into specific things. It's just that you got some things in life that are more important than God. That's idolatry. And that's what Israel was clobbered for. It isn't just a specific thing. It's having idols. Well, yes, but it says the lust of concupiscence. And that has to do with the other thing that people are talking about. No, listen to this. Concupiscence. In a general sense, the coveting of carnal things. So instead of breaking it down to one specific carnal act, it's just the coveting of carnal things. Or an irregular appetite for worldly good. Inclination for unlawful enjoyment. I looked at that and I thought, there you go, we're looking at the way of God more perfectly here. Abstain from fornication isn't just a specific act. It's having idols. It's getting away from God because you have these other things you'd rather do. And now you're getting a little weird. No, I don't think I am at all. The concupiscence, you can't get out of that because even that says the coveting of carnal things. Not just a specific thing, but carnal things. Or having an irregular appetite for worldly good. You want junk, you want stuff from the world, and that's all you can do. You just got to do it. You got to buy this. You got to get these things. You got to have these things. And I want to have a good enough job so I can have these things, and I'll take these things. I'll love these things more than my children. I'll love these things more than God. That's actually, in the scriptural sense, fornication. And that's concupiscence, as he says there, not in the lust of concupiscence. We lust things in this world. Not just specific, but all that stuff. That's not the will of God for us to want the stuff that this world has. And we buy it. And we try to make as much money so we can buy more of it. That's just what it says. Forsaking of the true God and worshiping of idols. The coveting of carnal things. Now, it's easier not to want these things as you've gotten older. Have you noticed that? I'm starting to recognize that. What was it? We went to the country store the other day. And a couple of years ago, I'd have bought like half that store. I mean, there was so much junk in there that was neat. You know, like salt and pepper shakers. Now, that's neat junk. But it probably isn't junk to kids, you know. If we can teach them that that stuff is junk, but we can't, I guess. I look at the games and stuff. You're just a little fuddy-duddy is what I'm getting to be here, I guess. No, that's look at how you're behaving. Look how much time you just wasted going beep, 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 beep. Got it. Okay. Oh, I missed it. Oh. And before you know it, you just wasted a half hour. Which, whatever. But when it gets to be something you got to have, a drive, then you're getting caught up in this stuff. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, he says in Timothy. Is that what we're getting? Is that where we are in America? There's one of the wills of God not to do that stuff. Look at chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That was no fun, huh? That was kind of a stinker one. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Well, here we go. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Oh, okay, good. Well, okay, give thanks for everything. How about just some of this stuff? No, everything. I can hear Bob Revis going, "Oh, thank you, Doc." Didn't just thank the doctor for that, but thank you, God, for why did this happen? I know Romans 8:28, et cetera, et cetera. But maybe that wasn't the will of God. You think? I don't think that was God's design. Bob, I'm going to take you to the doctor. I'm going to whack your neck. I'm going to make your life painful and arthritic the rest of your life. Oh, well, thank you, God. But he does say, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks will take away your worries and your bitterness and your hate and your frustrations. Thank you. That's pretty hard, isn't it? I mean, come on. That's pretty hard. But that is the will of God. Okay? Really. Look at 1 Timothy 2:8. See, there were specifics in here, weren't there? Sure there are. I will. Who's I? That's Paul. Ah, so see, we don't have to do this one because this is just Paul talking here. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Okay. It keeps going. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, gold, pearls, or costly array, but, parentheses, which becometh women professing godliness, which we know is not long or short, da 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 da, it's the Christian woman there. I'm based on Paul. With good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, but nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. But that's okay. This is just Paul. Relax. This is just Paul. Wait a minute. Paul is the apostle, and he's supposed to teach us the will of God, but Jesus... Oh, okay. That's still cooked. That's still for us. That's where it's at. Tough stuff. I mean, there it is. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 27. Last one, actually. I think the point's been made. To follow the will of God today is to follow what it is that Paul teaches and preaches. Because he's teaching us and preaching to us about the risen Savior. And we do it by looking at a King James Bible because it's the Word of God. And it tells us about Paul. It tells us even beyond Paul. For example, Romans 8:27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Whoa, you mean to tell me that as we read this Bible, that there's somebody making intercession for us based on the will of God? What's the will of God? We follow Paul. That's good news. That's why it brings in verse 28. That's a good verse to have there. But how many look at verse 27? We'll go back to 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We get into our Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I think it is, verse 13. This Bible works effectually in you that believe. You know what that is? That's us reading Paul, realizing we should be making some changes in our life. These people are really trying to make some serious changes in their life before it's too late. How about you? That's what's going on. That's the will of God in those people's lives based on what they've learned from Paul, that they're trying to put the skids on some things that are taking place within their home, and they're trying to deal with stuff. And quite often it's very difficult to do that, but that's the will of God based on Paul's teachings. So when Epaphras says at the beginning here, who was one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. That's probably pretty important, isn't it? The prayer. And then we got tears. And we got long suffering, patience, mercy, grace, rebuke, reprove, avoid, withdraw, have no company with, take no heed from, don't partake with, withdraw from, mark, and then if have to, off they go. And then like Paul did, get on with trying to learn what's right. And that's what Paul is all about. So Paul will help us stand perfect and complete in the will of God if we look to Paul and try to follow that stuff. Amen.